Blog Talk Radio.
You think I wouldn't have him unless I could have him by the ball? You think I'd dish it out? You don't think I'd take it at all? You think I am stronger? You think I walk taller than the rest? You think I'm usually wearing the pants just because I rarely wear a dress? When you look at me, you see my purpose, you see my pride. I'd settle up my anger and ride. You think I stand so firm? You think I sit so high on my trusty steed? Well, let me tell you, I'm usually face down on the ground when there's a stampede. Roll over, I'm too easy to wreck. I just write about what I should have done. I sing what I wish I could say, and I hope somewhere some woman hears my music and it helps her through her day. Around. Some big man's business turns a profit every time I lay my money down. Some guy designed this room I'm standing in. Another one built it with his own tools. Who says I like right angles? These are not my laws. These are not my rules. Like I fool you, I don't have the power. We just don't run this place.
And welcome to Here Be Monsters, part of the drumline of radioactivists on air supporting the occupation or the Occupy in worldwide cities at this time and Occupy Wall Street. We're sponsored by Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com. And the writers there are the hosts for this show of Solidarity. We are on every damn day. This is an official boycott of the MSM media. The challenge right now is to calmly, smoothly as possible, bring knowledge to the social consciousness. And until you wake up, we will fight for you. And that's a quote from Fulcati Park, or Liberty Plaza, as they say in Wall Street. Today with me, as usual, on Sunday, thank you very much, is Jack Jodell of Minneapolis, and he's also the author of Saturday Afternoon Post. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how you doing, everybody? And hi to you, Gwen. Keep up the good work. Solidarity, big time.
Right. Hey, yeah.
I saw excitedly on the news this past weekend that Lech Wałęsa has come out in support of Wall Street occupation, and he even issued a statement decrying capitalists just sitting on their money and not doing anything with it, and he called on them to invest in jobs. That's fabulous.
Yes, he did. He absolutely did. And what a wonderful validation.
Yeah.
For all of those people about to freeze their ass off in Fukati Park.
Yeah.
Also,
oh my.
He said that he was going to pay a visit over there.
Great.
And
that's great.
Take up the people's mic. I think that's pretty cool.
We actually had
another meeting of Occupy Lake Worth,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the people who are organizing, which is I noticed finally that it is the core of young and midlife activists.
Mm-hmm.
Actually people much of activist Lake Worth, Florida, mm-hmm. and they're doing a really fine job. They're sticking, and I'm very proud of this, actually. They're sticking to the standard of Occupy Wall Street with General Assembly and
mm-hmm.
consensus
mm-hmm.
Voting and group
right.
organization. And
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of older people instead of more younger people. And so they're not understanding why we aren't doing it by majority. They don't understand the consensus. So it actually makes it a little confusing and long.
Sure.
It's drawing out the process. But we are all very committed, and I think everybody who attends Occupy and who supports
mm-hmm.
Occupy should really, really, really get a whole lot of kudos from all of us in this whole family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're a whole Occupy family now, you know.
Right, true.
I also want to thank P.E. Nolan, the great P.E. Nolan, the great
mm-hmm.
and gracious and good P.E. Nolan, Trish Poole, who took over for me yesterday. Thank you, Trisha. She had some communication problems, but she knows what she's doing with it. She's just got probably Comcast as her carrier. She had cable trouble.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, I see her. She's here with us today. So
hey,
waving to the great
yeah.
P. Nolan. have you been back over to your group there in Minneapolis?
I went by it. I didn't stop in, though, but I went by it, and they were still out there, and that's good to see. It's very encouraging to see. So, and I think, you know, most of these Occupy movements are patterning themselves after Occupy Wall Street, the great father or mother of it all, and with good reason. I mean, it's working, and, you know, it's as democratic as one can be. And as far as this majority versus consensus ruling goes, you know, that's really a minor point. I mean, I think it's just not that big of a thing to me. I just love to see people out there expressing their opinions and taking part the way they have been. So many of these people, they were content to sit in a bowling alley or at the sports stadium or behind the TV set for so long doing nothing except complaining. Now they're here complaining, at least publicly, with other people, getting inspired, getting ideas, getting
true.
Information. And that's,
it's
you know,
quite
that's
true.
A healthy thing.
There's nothing quite like comradeship, as we well know, having been blog buddies for how many years now.
Oh, yeah.
We support one another. I saw a posting of the life and times of the Carolina,
Parrothead, yeah.
Yeah, on Facebook, just before I logged in to the
uh-huh.
show, and love to Beach Bum, Ron John, howdy, and he's doing a great job too. But we all
yeah.
began together, we all cleaned together.
Right.
I want to say hello to the guest in P.E. Nolan and Black Free Thinkers.
Yeah.
In the chat room, we're happy to have you. Please remember that you can give us a phone call in, and I'm going to post that call-in number right now into the chat so that you may join our conversation, if you wish, at any time. I was also going to bring up the topic today, which is basically, it's the dedication today of, and I believe, is it the birthday of, now this is terrible because I've had one of those days where you get up and catch everything in the backflip.
Yeah, I have that too on occasion. Today was the dedication day of the Martin Luther King monument, wasn't it?
Monument on the Mall in Washington.
Yes, that's right.
And I want to be one of the people who steps up and says, first of all, out of over 300 artists, the Chinese artist who was chosen, I think he did an absolutely conceptually wonderful job.
Yeah.
He was given a concept to work with, and he did it. I think that the stone that was quarried for it in China, which is a very special stone, a very special, I believe, marble. I'm not sure.
I think
but
it is marble,
The stone that is used is pretty wonderful. I haven't seen it in person, but I've seen film of it, footage and photography. And I think, symbolically speaking, it is a wonderful monument. And those people who've been poo-pooing it ought to be, you know, kicked in the pants. Okay, is that good? Kicked in the pants, okay? Are we good with that?
That's not too violent.
No.
We're peaceful, peaceful nonviolent folk to begin with.
Yeah, I did not suggest keel hauling.
No.
I am wont to suggest the keel hauling, you know. I mean, our matey. I saw a conversation, and today our conversation is revolving around the remarks that President Obama made, his speech at it. And, you know, he's really a rather eloquent speaker. If I could believe him, it would be even better. That's where I'm going with that.
He's had a tendency to say one thing and then do something either completely the opposite or a lot different than you expected. And that can be frustrating, and was and is frustrating. And we need him to get back on track, like we thought, to become the president that we thought we were voting for in 08. And when he does that consistently and stands up for true progressive values, I think he'll enjoy a lot more support than he has right now.
Well, you know, could be. You never know. Miracles happen. I have to tell you, I was in the we have a Roundtree 7 Facebook room where people go and have conversations. And I read a conversation between our fearless leader, who was a birthday yesterday, David, and also one of our great writers over at Roundtree. And they were talking, and I found it fascinating what they had to say. Is that it was David who brought up the fact that Uganda is going the way of many political leaders when they develop a notion that their country owns the resources that are coming out of the ground. Now, you know, our State Department has a name for that particular kind of mumblespeak, which is resource nationalism. And Gaddafi was saying the same thing a year before getting disposed of. And it leaked out from WikiLeaks at the State Department memos. We've been doing it since the turn of the last century. David went on to say, what do you think they mean by strategic interests? Strategic interests are diplomatic terms for natural resources that produce profit for the capital engine. Strategic engines or interests such as sugarcane, fruit, petroleum, metals, ores, cheap labor is also one, and that kind of hit me. I think these are important points. The government and our military will take these items if they are not readily sold cheaply, and since our government is not in business themselves, they are essentially the strong arm muscle for corporations, and that's why people are sitting in Fukati Park right now. Really, that has a lot to do with it.
And, you know, we love to talk about wars being fought for to fight injustice and all this and that and the other thing, but the sad fact of the matter is that almost every single war, if not every single war, has been fought for economic advantage. And
for strategic
somebody has
interest.
Always profited or will profit as a result of going to war, and that's the sad thing about it.
And it's this is the thing that, you know, I'm a gal who walks on the spiritual side of the street. It's part of my path in life. It's what I do. I think that politics are very much a part of being a larger part of the community. And believe me, it gets me into trouble with a lot of the people in my community who think that politics are somehow beneath spirituality. I do not think so.
Yeah.
I have a different philosophy.
Right.
However, it's the fact is that we are not right now going through revolution. I think we are going through evolution. I mean, it's time that humanity or mankind, and I'll put it on the paternal side of the street, patriarchal side of the street.
Advances itself mentally and emotionally and relationship-wise. It needs to advance, and that's what evolution is an advance.
It is. And if you look at the overall view, the overall view of evolution, and, you know, this was a part of my gig in school was cosmology, and the story of mankind through our own personal myths and yada yada. But if you look at the actual evolution of humanity, in the last few thousand years, we developed so quickly. Our brains, our ability to cohabitate, our sense of community, and also our sense of domination over one another for the biggest, house on the block or what have you, the commodity of the moment. And I think that common sense can give you a really fine pointer that says, hey, the next step in evolution is peace and the healing of the planet, because basically, if we do not stop the smoking hot, greased up war machine, that is seems to be the only specific goal of America or any other large industrial nation. It really does seem that way, doesn't it?
Well, wars are profitable, and the wrong kind of people profit from it, and as a result, they advance the notion of war and the practice of war. And it's really, when you think about it, it's an incredible waste of money to net a little bit of profit for a few greedy people. Really, when you boil it down to its basic essentials, all it does is kill people. It destroys homes. It destroys habitats. It destroys everything. It's destructive from the word go.
Well, it most essentially is. It seems to be the foundation or the essential steam that feeds the corporate machines, largest corporate machines, and it's usually
it's a
about
way for them to make
issues.
Easy profits, easy immediate profit, you know.
And it's just so when it comes up and people are discussing it, as I've been to a couple of the meetings here recently, and it seems to me that at the basis, at the foundation of what the people in Occupy movement now globally are trying to tell their government and rising up amongst their societies to say, to be the bright lights, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I think that basically what they're saying is it's about moral and ethical values that have been lost. And the only societies, the only culture that is sustainable and moral and ethical with one another and others, it has been, from my experience, the only place I see it practiced at all is with indigenous communities.
That's where you get true respect for your neighbor, and that's where you get allowances made for your neighbor instead of the me first attitude that's just completely permeated Western society. me first, me first, me first. You know, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's yeah, absolutely true.
They have a we attitude rather than a me attitude, and that's a lot healthier.
They do, and their we includes their whole community. And one
right.
of the first things they do is they make sure that those who are without family or without any means themselves, the elders of the community, the
mm-hmm.
widows, the orphans, all of the,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds corny to say, but it's absolutely true. These are the primary care, the primary first order of business
mm-hmm.
within an indigenous community setup.
Right.
These
right.
are the people who are looked after, and these are often the people who turn out to be the future leaders when it comes to, you know, orphans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they're given that special care, and they're made to realize that they aren't alone. They have a whole community as family.
And that's healthy.
You know?
It's incredibly healthy.
It's
for everybody's psyche and everything else, you know.
Well, and when you consider that 50 million people in this country, over 50 million people in this country are without health care. Yeah,
right.
Have you been reading, Jack, have you been reading those people's stories? They write it down on a piece of paper, take a picture and post it on Flickr or on Occupy, Facebook sites. Have you seen any of those?
I've seen a little
online?
Bit of it. Yeah, it's really terrifying, and it's revolting when you hear about what they've been through and what they've had to put up with. It's so unnecessary. We're supposed to be the richest, best country in the world. We got to start acting like it. You know, we can't exclude people. We can't put them through hell just because they don't have the right kind of insurance or these types of things. It's crazy.
You know, I don't know when or why people. I mean, I was raised with certain. My mother taught me good manners were not just, you know, about being polite. Good manners were about respecting other people as well
mm-hmm.
as myself. And she also taught me that if I had more than maybe most on one part of the community, because
mm-hmm.
the community provided that, I owed a responsibility to that community to give back to it, to share the abundance.
Right.
And
exactly.
I mean, that was my father's family. They were nurserymen.
Yeah.
And they became bankers and politicians. And
mm-hmm.
they were Republicans in upstate New York. And they continued to set that ideal in me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was responsible for what's being shattered right now, which is the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
It really hurts because
oh, yeah.
I can remember when that was, and it was drawn up by young Republicans and Democrats together.
Mm-hmm.
who were interns working for a couple of congressmen, the lead one being a Republican out of upstate New York. And
mm-hmm.
that seat, by the way, went to a Democrat recently. It was about
okay.
the only Republican
right.
stronghold. My mom used to have a saying, nothing
yeah.
dumber than a New York Democrat.
Well, that sounds like partisan talk to me, but whatever, you know. Well, New York's an interesting state. There's a big
it
difference
is.
Between upstate New York and New York Central, and even in Albany, it's different, you know. But I saw a very interesting and revealing statement expressed by, I can't remember who on TV, just yesterday I think it was, and I can't remember for the life of me who it was. But they said, my father told me to always treat everyone like a gentleman. Not because
yes.
they may be a gentleman, but because you are one, is what he said. And it made
yes,
a lot of sense.
I heard the same.
It made a lot of sense.
I agree. Yeah,
yeah,
I heard the same thing. You're a young lady. Always,
mm-hmm.
you know, always conduct yourself as a lady and treat
right.
others the same way. Yeah,
right.
I was
exactly.
raised that way.
That's
Are
civilization. That's being civilized, and it's common sense. And it breeds togetherness. It doesn't breed individualism to the point where it's extreme and that it tramples on other people. It's a way of getting along with everybody and getting a lot done in the process. And that's common sense, period.
Well,
you know.
Tell me, Jack, how did we get fastened down and suckered with all of these awful old Mr. Potter types, whether in heart and mind, that have virtually been sucking the life out of a whole country and society with impunity.
We dedicated ourselves to profit before everything. And you know what? A little bit of profit goes a long way, just like a little bit of water goes a long way, but too much water will drown you. So let's have some common sense here. Let's have enough profit to pay off some stockholders. Let's have enough profit to invest in the company and in future needs. But let's not have a big, huge bankroll that sits and sits and sits and allows people to get lazy and complacent. And that's exactly the threat we're facing right now. We've got a lot of money out there. We're not going broke. That's a myth. We have a lot of money in this country. But it's just not being put into use. It's being sat upon and admired, and everything, you know, is being done with it except what should be being done with it, which is creating investment and jobs here in the country. And there's a lot of wasted wealth out there.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that.
But along with that has come this attitude that it's got to make a profit. It's got to be profitable. If it isn't, it's worthless. Well, there are a lot of things that don't make a profit that are still very worthwhile and still very good and very necessary, and we've got to cultivate more of that attitude.
You know, you remind me of a line I heard in a movie once. It was, I believe it was the Patriot Games. It was one of Tom Clancy's stories about Jack Ryan, and they were all standing around, and the head of the CIA asked Jack Ryan, you know, well, tell me what in life is for sure. And he immediately said without hesitation, my daughter's love.
Very good. Perfect answer.
But the point is, we have lost that anchor.
We are, and, you know, we're not a romantic country to begin with. We really aren't. We are not romanticists at all. For a brief time in the 60s, we flirted with it, but that's been long gone. No, instead, we're very industrial. We're very cold-hearted capitalists. You know, even the ones that who say they aren't have been affected by it. And, you know, it's not entirely healthy to be that way.
No, I agree with you. Look at the anger in Italy this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And Milan on I guess Thursday and Friday.
They were freaking out.
Milan,
they were throwing fruit and
out.
Everything. You know, they were mad.
Uh huh. They were very angry. They've had enough.
Right.
Enough is enough. But all of those. This has been a wonderful weekend because the world's
coming to a realization that's very overdue.
Yes. And the world looked at America for the first time, perhaps since World War II, and said,
"Yeah, as leaders.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Really, as leaders, as progressive thinking leaders, forward thinking leaders. Very, very lacking in this society."
And you bring up a wonderful point. America has not held any romance. It's been simply about, you know, cut and run, cut bait. You know, that kind of thing.
Make money.
We do not have, and yet we fill our empty souls with all of this fiction on big screens and small screens that fill up children now with ideas of being bigger than maybe it's possible for them to ever be. And it's creating the death of that American dream that was the one piece of romance perhaps we ever really did have, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, we're no...
You know, we love to blame outside factors and outside forces, and there's a lot of truth to what we want to blame. There's a lot of truth to that, but when it really boils down to it, we're really angry at ourselves, and we don't know it. And when we reach the realization that a lot of the things we've believed in and have been practicing over the years, over many, many decades, have been actually wrong and not the correct thing to do and a very harmful way to maintain life or to destroy life, it's a shocking development. And it's something that a lot of people have a hard time realizing and accepting. But I'm sorry, to be realistic, and that's what we have to be in this world, to be realistic, you have to accept these things, and you have to make changes, and you have to go from those changes into the next phase. You have to evolve to the next step. And I think we're in the process of starting to do that, I hope.
Well, you know what it is? We've lost our culture. We've lost
our
personal myth.
Yeah.
We've lost our personal dreams. We've attached children, attached their dreams to, you know, the rap star or I don't know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I have no
artificial
idea.
Things.
They do
artificial
yes,
things.
They don't. They have. We have not been creating.
Right.
We have not
exactly.
been creating. And, you know, that's what I do. That's my living. It's about developing, you know, discovering. Uh-huh. And developing your own personal myth. And you know, the truth is that we live it every day. You know, you'd be surprised at what people actually, if we can step away from all of our own inner issues and feelings of, you know, lack, and
mm-hmm.
to embrace what we know is our own self-worth.
Right.
A lot of what we are, our strengths and our dreams are much the same. We do develop
mm-hmm.
ourselves from a dream of ourselves, and people don't
right.
recognize or honor that.
Right. Well,
you know
50 years, or a little bit over 50 years ago, when John Kennedy first came into office, he created the President's Council on Physical Fitness. And he was concerned at that time that lifestyle in America was getting too easy and that people would get soft. Well, you know, we have gotten soft, although not so much physically as we have mentally, I think. Become soft. We take the easy way out instead of doing it the proper way. We do it the easy, quick way, the way that's guaranteed to make us the most profit or at least spend the least amount of time on stuff. And you know what? Not all of that is always good. And I think we've lost our way in many, many, many ways. But that's really at the heart of it right there. We want an easy solution. We don't want to struggle for anything, even though struggle is part of life and always has been and always will be. And we want to take it easy, and we want to just be entertained, and we want to do all the things that we really shouldn't be involved with. That's what we want to do instead. And that's where we're running into problems. So whether it's the Congress sitting back and taking it easy on certain bills and not dealing with them and pushing them on to the next Congress, or whatever the situation, or business, placing long-term profits, placing long-term stability at risk over short-term profits. I mean, we're taking a lot of wrong roads here, and we need to get back on track.
Well, it's like earlier today, listening to the president and understanding
mm-hmm.
that he's parroting Dr. King, but we
mm-hmm.
really do need to reclaim our own personal stones of hope.
Right.
It's quite true, and I've also noticed that a lot of my friends will go, "Oh, you know about the Occupy movement, or people in my community that I will speak to."
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Occupy, oh, yes, I do, and there's one right here, and, you know, informing people,
mm-hmm.
and yet they're getting their information from places like, you know, CNN or Fox News. I mean, Fox News isn't even a media or journalist.
No,
it's
a propaganda arm of the Republican Party of conservatives.
Well,
that's all it is.
It's infotainment for the lot. And
yeah, exactly.
Fanatics,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And
Lord.
CNN
and
is
it,
so
it is.
Superficial, and you know they've got biased, uninformed media anchors that are they're really basically terrible. You know,
well, they are. They are.
Yeah.
They have their agenda is corporate culture that's based
yeah.
and built on criminal. Criminal evasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Murdoch. I mean,
oh,
know,
yeah.
and he's—it's obviously his
what do they call it, modus operandi.
Yes,
is that
right.
You, is that you, Tricia?
It is. I figured
out. Oh,
hi,
Tricia.
I'm technologically challenged these days, but fortunately I have options and alternatives. Anyway, but here I am, and, you know, carry on. You guys are doing great over there. I didn't watch the speech because, sincerely boycotting pretty much TV as a whole these days. I'm just don't look at, but while y'all were talking, I went and read the text of speech
okay.
that Obama
Good.
Made today. And, but I was reminded when y'all were talking about just everybody so focused into their own TV and their own life and and me and not stepping out and of you know that comedian Lee Camp, who's been involved in both Occupy Wall Street as well as October 2011 down in D.C. Did a video about why I'm going, and you know that October 2012 does have a lot of those. But I love his because it was like the revolution is happening, and what are you going to tell your grandkids when everybody looks back and says, "Oh, that was the beginning of the revolution." What were you doing? And it's like playing Angry Birds. What were you doing? Playing Angry Birds during the revolution? And you know, I think there is a lot of that in real life going on, where people are so not like pulled into their own screen and isolated from each other that they don't connect. And,
neighbors don't even react together anymore. It's really
we've
got our own
like,
little
like
bubbles, and we're trapped inside of them.
You know, well, maybe if at the 4th of July somebody in the cul-de-sac lights off some fireworks or whatever. I think that we go out of our way to avoid each other. And sometimes that's good because your neighbors
wait a minute,
are mad,
though.
You know?
Well, wait a minute, though. The Earth Mother is disallowing that anymore because the elements are speaking and talking, and we've had so many catastrophes that neighbors have had to band together and form community over again. And it's like the Earth is teaching us how to live over again through crisis, through disaster.
Right. Well, that's an area that are afflicted by crisis, though. You know, the average city dweller isn't afflicted in the same way, so they tend to, wall off into their own little bubbles.
Well, however, I think that that's one of the greatest things about the Occupy movement across the country, and that's little by little, people are making connections that they didn't make before,
and in
a different way. You know, just yesterday, my parents were at Sears and got into a conversation with a clerk that clearly parroted whatever he heard off in the mainstream media, and he had dramatic misconceptions about what the movement is about.
Sure.
And you know, my parents were able to say, "Well, no, that's actually not right." And maybe what I'm getting at is like through this little interchange. My parents were glad that they felt more connected to the movement than they did Saturday morning when they woke up. Now they're a little more connected. That guy, you know, I don't know what is going to happen with the clerk, if he's going to go home and start a conversation. But again, the consciousness has been raised. And little by little, we're baby steps. But
the counter-cultural revolution all over again. It's like we're experiencing a second one of those. Because you remember in the first days of anti-Vietnam protests and stuff. It was you and a bunch of long-haired guys in a room somewhere, and you all had the same idea, but it was you against the world. In this way, it's not quite as pronounced that way. There's more people out there that believe in the same way that we didn't know about before. Now we're starting to find out, and that's great. And
you know,
go ahead.
No, what's interesting to me about party politics these days is I'm looking at, you know, I know that
divide and conquer is the mission of the mainstream media, and keep us fighting with each other so we don't notice that the corporations
really
are, you know, that we don't stand up together and fight against them.
Right.
I think we've gone beyond that now.
I think we've gone beyond that, but it's like Jack said, during the counterculture, people, you know, guys got together in a room. I mean, that's how the Rolling Stone was born, you know?
Right.
Rolling Stone magazine and they called it Gonzo journalism, and that's what I always wanted to be.
And little by little, it took hold, and pretty soon almost all of society was following it, and that's exactly what's going to happen here.
As far as media goes right here. We're right here, the Blog Talk Radio thing. We got this little radio show here, and Pinko has his at night, and Diane has one once a week, and then there's tonight after I'm on here, I'm over at Progressive News Network with Rick Spisak and Mickey and that crowd for the Progressive, and that's part of the Democrat Party, but this is Florida. People are pissed off.
It's the Progressive wing, though, and that's good.
Yeah.
Well,
we're against the world, you know. We're against the corporate world again.
Exactly.
It's another myth and counterculture and all of that. It's a ripe time for individuals to reclaim their own personal stories defined in a more moral and ethical value.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was telling Gwen earlier that I was on the subway yesterday going out, you know, and looking out the window, I saw a guy on the platform reading the Occupy Wall Street Journal. And I was like, yes, you know, they're making a statement out in public. And it reminded me of underground papers like the Rolling Stone was years ago, when you know, and also the pamphlets that people were handing out in 1776.
Yeah,
you know, that
very
that true. Was not, you know, a big thing either. That was citizen journalists saying what they needed to say. And before that, the satirists back in England years ago, you know, with Jonathan Swift and all those guys, you know. And so there's always been, or when
an
the time comes, you know, when the time comes, and we're at that time again where the citizens stand up and say, that's not, you know, no more. You know, no more.
This ain't right, you people. Look, this ain't
right.
That's what those folks are doing in Fukati Park and all over the world now.
I think we're on the verge of a great new progressive movement, and I can't wait. We're so long overdue that I just can't wait for it. I am ecstatic about this development, and it's just looking like everything's heading in the proper direction.
I think so, too. I think we are totally, I mean, I'm so looking forward to, by this time next year, and the conventions over the summer, both Democrat and Republican, and how is Occupy Wall Street going to affect that? I thought, did you put up this morning about, or maybe it was Occupy Lake Worth had something about Occupy, the General Assembly's forming committees to send to a national convention?
I haven't heard anything out of my group, but I did see something posted on Facebook. I think someone posted it, maybe Betty J in Roundtree 7, you know, Journey with Roundtree 7. There's a lot of stuff right now that's international that's posted in Facebook all over the place. It's like, I don't know. It's like going into a candy store at Facebook anymore.
I found it, man.
Open sesame. You know, I'm like tapping my foot if a video won't play quick enough for me.
Now I hear you.
I'm like,
these are exciting times.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. It's absolutely
yep.
wonderful because yep. you've got these conversations going on, like the one I read between Oso and David. And Oso
mm-hmm.
just dropped by to say hello. Hello, Oso.
Hi, Oso.
Glad to see you. He is in our chat room. Call in if you want to. We would really love to have you in the conversation here. We're talking about the brand new counterculture that's on the horizon. And really, Ava Maria brought up a good point, too, on Facebook. It's taking forever if you're in the Occupy rooms or anything. There is just, it takes forever for anything to buffer anymore because I think that there are a lot of people observing from the back door.
There's so much activity, and that's good. That's great.
Well, that's great because plenty of people need to, to walk around the pool once before they even stick a toe in. I mean, it's a little scary. It's a little scary when you see the images on TV of, like, these cops driving mopeds into the crowd.
But that's only in New York.
Well, you know what, but
well,
I think
it's not the only place that
no,
that
and we remember Kent State. We remember
right.
cops and civil rights movement shooting down people with the hoses. You know, I mean the dogs
well, they use,
and the
they use water cannons and stuff on them. You know, but
yeah,
but
you
the
know,
thing
and
is,
so I people are
you know,
scared.
It's
but
in the minority.
Little
that, those kind of events are in the minority, and the vast majority of them are just peaceful gatherings of like-minded people who are angry about the way things are going with good reason, and there's going to
well,
be a
know,
good result of it too.
You know, Keith Olbermann was right last week when he said, you know, Bloomberg is he wickedly stupid or is he just playing into it? But
mm-hmm.
every time he allows that police commissioner in New York to double down on those.
Our numbers grow.
On the Occupy. The numbers grow. Now, Tricia, did you go to Times Square yesterday?
No. I was sowing seeds in Brooklyn with my friends in the theater
mm-hmm.
about trying to get something street theater going in Washington
mm-hmm.
Square Park for Occupy.
Yeah.
You know, so I was doing that little work yesterday, but no,
there were over 5,000 people that gathered in Times Square last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I read the article
at
the Times
mm-hmm.
this morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
that's amazing. And the other thing I thought was really a bright spot in yesterday and made me feel just great was seeing Julian Assange on the steps of St. Paul's in London. I just
mm-hmm.
thought that was terrific. He is also a figurehead in
mm-hmm.
this, you know, in this whole movement.
Right.
WikiLeaks is a huge doorway that opened and allowed
mm-hmm.
this to come through, you know?
Right.
Well, did you notice Occupy the boardroom?
Have you seen
it's reminding me about WikiLeaks because I found this at the Occupy site called Occupy the Boardroom, if my
I
computer
love the
will
concept.
Cooperate.
Those boardrooms need
is,
to be occupied.
well, they've given out the contact information or
mm-hmm.
some contact information on executives. If my computer's I'm going to go right there if my
mm-hmm.
services have been intermittent lately, but it
mm-hmm.
seems to be headed. Well, I'm trying to get to the email, or you could find it on the Occupy. You know how when you go to Occupy Wall Street, there
mm-hmm.
is the schedule of events in the
right-hand
margin.
Mm-hmm.
You can click on today's activity was Occupy the Boardroom. That's an initiative that was started today.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky it's headed over in the right direction, the computer. But what it is send letters to these executives in all of the banks and the Wall Street companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a list of who they are and what their title is and mention that they cannot give out. Oh, we're getting lucky. If this will load, I can read it. But it's they're not giving out the phone numbers.
Okay.
Because
they'd get flooded with phone calls.
Well, not only that, there's illegalities involved based on certain things that WikiLeaks is. Here we go. So here we have. I'm reading from the Occupy the Boardroom team. States that we have detailed contact information for every executive on this website. We would love to share it. All of it with you. Sadly, there was a law called the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. Due to an interpretation of that law, we could be subjected to 10 to 20 year prison sentences for sharing information. If you think that's unfair, as we do, we suggest you contact every single member of a group whose address we can share, Congress. And so they give that. But the concept of this is to, life gets awfully lonely for those at the top. What we can do to let them know someone's thinking of them is make some friends. We thought of two ways. You can be a pen pal, make your voice heard by the Wall Street elite who wrecked the economy and made the rest of us pay. Click on someone below and tell them the story you think they should listen to. Just got a college degree and nothing to show for it? Just got evicted while your banker gets bonuses? Share your story with someone who ought
to
know. And they've got pen pals at Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Bank of America, J. Morgan, P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. And for example, there's this William H. Gray, a board member, and you can click on his information and submit your pen pal letter. And anyway, you can submit it right from the – your email is required. They can't publish it. But if I'm looking at this right, what you can do is click on anybody, like Mary Callahan, E-R-D-O-E-S, of J.P. Morgan Chase, or Matthew James, or Edward O'Keefe at Bank of America, and it gives you an email, you know, just like a chat box to fill out and say whatever you want, and they'll send it to him.
That's a really great pointer, and that would be a great project.
You know what it's reminding me of is
the lady who pulled up at the bank yesterday when our crowd was marching by and the new Audi and said, you know, what are they whining about now? And my sister had to bring me back.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going to step up to it. And, you know, wears on you.
Here's the great thing, though. By providing this, like, okay, here they're also giving your BFF option. If you really... if you're really feeling the love, why not reach out to Edward P. O'Keefe? He's Bank of America in a more imaginative way. Maybe he needs some good friendships or maybe some intervention. Just be creative and don't harass. Like, call him up by telephone, prank call like Scott Walker, by email like the Yes Men do, by paying him a visit, by meeting at a conference. So they're giving all these suggestions, and then they're saying, you've got to, they give you a text, instructions on how they can't put his phone number on the internet or they'll risk 10 years in jail. They can, however, tell you what terms to Google so you can find it out for yourself. And that's
there
what
you
they've
go.
Done here
Good.
With the BFFs option. So this is www.occupytheboardroom.org.
Great.
That's pretty cool.
It's affiliated with Occupy Wall Street.
That sounds
awesome.
Well,
and that's another thing. How many of us can't make it, okay? Even if you lived across the street, you've got responsibilities, whatever. Most of us cannot make it. Here's a great way to participate in whatever, you know, from your home, at your leisure.
In a completely non-threatening way that's sensible and, you know, will yield benefits eventually.
Yeah, but it's set up exactly like if, you know, anybody, we all get those emails saying, sign this petition and include your personal remarks.
Right.
It's set up just like that, so you can go in, fill it out, and hit click, and they send it for you.
That's fabulous. Oh, that's fabulous, yeah.
It is a good idea. I keep wondering how many personal assistants are just hitting delete, 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 delete.
Well, you know, whatever. At least that'll get the personal assistant. Maybe the chairman is not going to know. But,
well,
you know, 15 assistants will be talking about it at lunch, going like, what the
fuck? Right, exactly. Yeah.
And it's trust me,
those secretaries
know what the dick those people are.
Or why isn't that job done that I asked you
right.
to do? And then, you know, oh, I was busy deleting stuff from, you know, whatever.
Well, and here's an abject lesson of it, Tricia. You're having problems with your Time Warner cable and connections and hookups.
Uh-huh.
I had trouble in down in Highland, New Jersey, when I was there for a year, just below, you know, the lady where the ferry hits Jersey. I had trouble with my Comcast hookup. And so I kept getting people coming out to the house, and they never fixed it. That was always much worse. So what I finally did was I got online, and I found the different different email addresses for executives in Philadelphia and New Jersey, and I emailed.
Good.
Like PE is saying, like Tricia is saying, I emailed, and basically I got action real quick.
Good.
So
you know, well, and the thing, you know, I don't know, I just like this idea because what you said about WikiLeaks reminded me, because how did they get this? Well, they got all this for the same ways Anonymous gets things. They look for them on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, and these guys are totally tied to the movement, you know, and are backing it up and supporting it. And I know certain times they do things that are controversial, and certain times, you know, whatever, but they're still providing this for us today
right.
in a way that's
true.
Really accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And really, if you're the kind of person who wants to participate, but you're just sticking your toe in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we all take it, we all have our own process, and we all
sure.
approach things at our own pace.
Oh, yeah,
and so
yeah.
here's a soft, gentle way. That,
very good idea.
You know,
great idea. Thanks for mentioning that, Trish.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I found it this morning before my connection started screwing up. But,
yeah, so are we.
You know,
that's great.
And I'm glad that it's working to now so I can tell you. So anyway, it's great.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm all for anything I can do and not get out of my pajamas. Because it's a hard thing to get out of your PJs
and
into the street.
Well, good job.
Right,
it's constructive.
954 area code. You're hotwired onto the show. Hello?
Hello? Gwen?
Hello.
Hi, Tracy. How
hi.
Are you?
I'm doing fine. You know I had to chime in on this one. Talking about corporate, just to give some of you background, I work in the corporate convention services, and I have to deal with a lot of these presidents and CEOs on a one-to-one basis.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the speeches or what they talk about is completely different by the time it trickles down to when you have to deal with their company as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely astounding when they go up there, they do a mandate, they are trying to set a tone, but by the time it trickles down through a gazillion middle management people,
mm-hmm.
And the person that you have to deal with at Walmart or Target, you want to pull your hair out. Or
yeah,
the tech at Comcast. I've worked with Roger at Comcast, their CEO. Very nice guy, very funny, very easy to be around and everything, and his speech was wonderful. But it's like, but that isn't what you deal with when you have to deal with the people in the field. Something gets
right.
lost.
Oh, yeah.
Through the trickle down, and they keep on talking about the trickle down economics and whatever, and there's only one thing that I know that rolls downhill. Yeah, fill in the blank. And I mean, most.
Well, it sounds, Tracy, like you're saying that, you know, we have misinterpreted the corporate.
I have to walk a very fine line here because I don't
really want
to fight the hand that feeds me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really enjoy my job and I love the industry, and the weird thing is most people in this industry, they're, you know, liberals. And a lot of times we have to shut our mouths so we get hired again for the next gig.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to have somebody known to speak out on these things on their crew.
So So you wanted to bring to bear the point that a lot of these, Tricia was telling us that there's a way to send your personal stories to these CEOs and such. You're saying that basically a lot of them are very approachable in your experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's usually the assistants and the people underneath them that are scared to death of the CEO. In the 90s, it was even worse. It was like, you know, don't look him in the eye. Don't, you know, you can't have too many people around him. You know, and it was like the second coming for some CEO. And they would fill their own heads up with it. They would surround themselves with yes people. But once you started talking to them, like they were the dirty old man at the bar trying to pick you up, they were fine, you know.
Yeah.
But I found that because I'm a letter writer and I, you know, if I have a problem with a certain company, I write a letter to the top.
right.
And you usually get more of a reply than trying to call customer service with somebody who has no power.
Oh, right.
You know?
Good point.
Area code 336. You're live. Hello.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
This is so much BS. Oh, the evil corporations, all this other crap. You know what? I have a brand new pickup truck, and because thank God I work for one of those evil corporations, allow me to buy that pickup truck, allow me to be able to buy food for my family. And a house and all that. I am so sick and tired. I was a paratrooper for a long time. I've been here, there, done, seen it all. Been all over the world. A couple times.
You have a wonderful mortgage.
A whole lot of freaking times I got shot at. Granted, whenever we go to the Middle East, it's all about freaking oil. I understand that. But oil makes this whole thing in the United States work. Anybody who doesn't think that is an idiot. However.
We're trying to change that. You do realize that's part of what
you're not going to change
that. Right,
you're not. Until you make. Okay. What did Barack Obama do? All this money he spent and all this green energy and all that stuff. We all know it's all going down the toilet.
Oh, sir, excuse me. Mr. Obama has not done one bit of that. He has done nothing but support the oil industry.
Look, get your facts straight.
Stop watching Fox News for your information.
I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch any freaking news on the... I'll get a little bit off the internet, and every once in a while I'll listen to a little bit of radio and stuff like that. But I've been to third world countries. I've helped damn Koreans starving to death. I've helped people in Thailand and all those other countries giving them MREs. Mm-hmm. I've seen you know what a gas mask is worth in South Korea? A whole lot of money. You know what an MRE is worth in South Korea? A whole lot of food. If you ever been in any fucking shitholes in the world?
Sir, why are those prices so exorbitant? Why is there a need for them? What is the baseline cause of that?
Because they don't get off their asses and come to the realization that they have the resources and the ability to make things worth what they are worth. And rather than doing that, they go ahead.
Oh, they don't know how to take advantage of their own strategic resources in their country.
Well, some do, but for the majority of those countries, they are led by I wouldn't say fascist, but more or less a dictatorship, and all that. And of course, they're gonna yield down to a big government, whether it be and dare I say it. There are a lot of countries over there who are doing the same thing for the Russians and the Chinese, believe it or not.
Well,
but there are a lot of them who are doing it for the American government, too. What the hell did they do during the Olympics? They had to cut the during the Olympics. Oh, you laugh on me, won't you? You've never been any freaking where, and you can sit there on your ass and laugh all you want, but you've never been around
you
the world.
I'm not laughing at you.
Sir, mister, yes, I have been in those places.
Oh, no.
Yes, I have done that. I haven't jumped out of a plane onto my head, but I've worked in areas.
A little bit harder.
You know, the
okay,
thing is, but
well,
I have.
No,
you know,
I'm going to tell you what. I'm gonna tell you what, one corporate is a lot,
you get another.
I am not a corporate. Hey, I believe. Trust me. Corporations do good things and do bad things.
They do bad things. You know, but listen, and they do them to us all.
I agree with you. I agree. Hey, I'm in the civilian world now. I work for a corporation. Why am I siding with corporations? Because I enjoy a shelter over myself and my family. I like food on the table, and I like being able to drive a nice. You know, I got three cars. I like being able to do that.
But how much debt have you collected? Did you pay cash? Did you pay cash for all that stuff?
I didn't pay cash for anything. The house is the only thing that I owe any debt on. And I owe $20,000 off of 127,000 house. What I bought.
But thanks to the Depression,
it would have been 200. Thanks to the Depression. Huh?
Excuse me, folks. Listen, everybody.
I pay cash for
the I am actually over my limit, so I basically I'm going to bring a conclusion to the conversation this evening. I do appreciate your point of view, sir.
Well, damn.
I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it.
I understand.
It's not a part of my reality, and I'm well-educated, and I've been well-healed, and I will say that you have every right. You have every right to feel as you do about the corporations providing you with sustenance the same way my friend does. She feels that beholding too. I understand that. That's fine and dandy. And we just have a difference of opinion. And I've kind of muted everybody because I'm over my minutes and I'm supposed to be on another show in a few. But here's the thing. I didn't mute you, Tracy, and I didn't mute you, Tricia. And I want to say thank you both for bringing your stories and your opinions to bear tonight, because I think that even Mr. Grimdog's story provides us with a very clear realization of what's going on out there. And the differences in people in this country right now. We are going through, I think, Tracy, you realize that we're going through a huge counterculture movement here, as well as political, don't you?
Oh, of course I do. Of course I do. Well, you know, we're a society that's been given a lot of options, and right now we're used to our options, and right now we don't have many, so we're taking it to the streets, and that's what it boils down to.
I think it boils down to a moral and ethical deficit, Tracy. That's what it boils
down to. People don't care. But you know what? The people
making the money do not give a fuck about the people who don't make the money. There's an overabundance of greed and ignorance in this country, and it's actually filled, it's burned, it's given fuel constantly. And gentlemen like Mr. Grimdog feel that it's a righteous movement, because as long as he's getting paid for whatever he does, you know, in big wads of cash, he thinks it should go on. It's not trickling down that way to everybody else. We have over 50 million without health care, and now the health care that they push through is being shot down too. And we're at a deficit for certain elder care that used to be there that is not. We're in a lot of crisis right now, politically and financially. And the economies on a world level are about to go fucking tits up, guys, tits up. Does that make any sense to anyone in here?
Does anyone see that? Yes, it does.
You know, well,
and
one of the things, though, that I was reminded of was when you look at the conflicts between the mine owners and the miners back in the day, turn of the century, it was not dissimilar. You know, some people even, they wanted their job, similar to what Grimdog was in that position. You know, others wanted the union to organize and have workers' rights. You know, and so, again, we find ourselves at the same moment with workers versus owners. And a lot of people are stuck in the middle. You know, a lot of people are stuck in the middle and don't quite know what to do. And maybe you can get through it, you know, and take a neutral path. But, you know, and I'm thinking of it.
There's more good people out there than there are bad people. I'm thinking of a lot of my
girlfriends in high school. Their dads were oil company executives and VPs and stuff. They were nice guys at home. They were had business practices that were questionable and have destroyed whole countries' ecology and economy, but they were not a human. They were still human, and that's what we have to count on.
So when does you know, the Occupy movement is really basing itself on anchoring right now, so that accountability becomes the norm. Accountability out of the banks, out of Wall Street, and falling on down through the politics, because you got to start with the money. It's like Deep Throat said, follow the money. That's where it all starts. That's where it will all end. And I think it should be the end of money myself. More and more, I think that. I think in the indigenous ways. But in trying very hard to be very practical and politically practical, and my politics are Occupy politics. I hear their grievances. I agree with what they're saying. You know.
Well, we know. I chose which side I was on a long time ago, and sticking to it. Even you know. But it's not, the thing that's cool is, like, it's not like clinging to something. It's more like solidifying and growing and evolving into something greater and bigger, as more and more people realize we are the 99%.
It's really quite true. And Tracy, I think I'm aware that you are one of the nice guys, one of the good people who want Fierce to be healthy. And she's been right there. Tracy has come back in total shock from third world countries, going, I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
She knows what corporations do. She's seen it. So, you know,
Well, I mean, coming back from third world countries, I came back and never donated again to another American charity. And it's always been two third world charities that I do put my money towards. because we do have safety nets in this country, more so than a lot of places, but a lot of it has been unbelievably hijacked and taken away by this Congress that is sitting in seat right now, and not to mention our state. Our last governor had rolled back programs that took 20 years to build up.
The bottom line is always the money. It's always the money. And it's a good thing that people like, you know, the gentleman who was on can go and make great wads of cash. I don't think anybody should be stopped from that. I do think that there are moral and ethical values that we've completely lost. And I think that that is really a lot of the anchor that is going on in Occupy Wall Street.
Well, which direction are you going to take? I mean, a lot of these companies have outsourced and, you know, everything. I mean, oh, my God, you can get a quadruple bypass surgery in Bangkok for $20,000, and that's for a week at the hospital and then another week at a nearby resort.
That's all stuff that shouldn't be necessary. We should be taking care of people. You know, there's right ways to do things and wrong ways to do things. And I'm saying that the overbearing profiteering, especially of the medical industry on this planet, is causing a lot of...
Medical industry, you can thank
the
lawyers. Okay, you can thank the lawyers.
Yeah, right, okay. It couldn't possibly be profiteering.
Follow the insurance companies. Follow that trail, and there will be a lot of your answers to a lot of your questions. Because insurance companies will not lose money, and this is why we're at where we're at, is because of what's going on in the insurance industry.
Well, I think it has to do, too, with the pharmaceutical industries that keep people from getting healthy. Whole fucking nations. I mean, we're going into conversations that I can't do. I'm 16 minutes over my time here, ladies.
We have to do this again. We have to do this again.
We do. Tracy, you have to call back and
Tracy,
be a part.
Tracy, you're a wonderful source of information.
I will follow up on this insurance, how this path has led us down this rosy road. You know, fascinating. No, a lot of where we're at is because of what's going on in the insurance industry. But, okay, that's another show. Good night.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Tracy. And thank you, Tricia. And I want to thank the gentleman who called in. You have every right to your opinion. We may not agree, but I always want to hear the difference of opinion. And basically, this has been Here Be Monsters. And I thank you for tuning in. No sign-off songs tonight. I have to cut it short. I need to be in a different place on Blog Talk right now. So thank you, everybody, for listening, whether you're listening live or you listen into the what is it called? Oh, yes, archive. I thank you very much. Remember, this is every day we are on in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street. We're sponsored by Roundtree 7, which is Roundtree with the number 7.com. And we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Thank you for listening, and that's a good night.